hope is alive. Yes, hope is alive in our Lord Jesus Christ. Why? Because he said so. Jesus said in Luke, "And he said unto them, I beheld Satan falling as lightning from heaven. Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you. Nevertheless, in this rejoice not, that the spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are written in heaven." Did you hear that? The spirits are subject to you, and you've been given all power over them. Now in Matthew 10, he was speaking to his disciples, and he said, "As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. Freely received, freely give." And then in Mark, he said unto them, "Go ye into all the world, and preach the gospel to the whole creation. And he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that disbelieveth shall be condemned. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name shall they cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover." Join us as we celebrate these verses given to us in God's holy word. Tonight we have a live interview with Mr. Everett Cox of Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City. We'll hear some more of his story and give you a chance to call in and ask questions concerning deliverance and setting the captives free. If you have a question about the issue of demons or evil spirits, then this is the time to call and ask. Join us, because hope is alive in our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Good evening, Remnant, and welcome to Hope is Alive. Coming to you. Got to push the button, Richard, on this February 21st. Good evening, Brother Ralph.
Good evening.
And good evening, Pastor Cox.
Good evening, Brother Richard, Brother Ralph. Greetings from a cold Oklahoma.
Well, we can send a bird greetings from here as well. But praise the Lord, it's wintertime, and we've got that winter weather in its season. I'd sure rather have it now than about the end of June. So praise the Lord.
Amen.
So, well, man, I'll turn it over to you, and I'll sure let you know when your callers come in.
Thank you, Richard. Good evening, everybody. Welcome to Hope is Alive, the show about doing the supernatural works of Jesus, the testimonies of those who have been set free from that which has held them captive by spirits and demons, and just over the power of the enemy. It's been over them over most of their life, but the good news is the enemy has power, but we have greater power. We have all power and authority over him, and that's what this show is here to encourage you to understand, to operate and exercise in that power, to help set yourself free, to help set those around you free, all by the power of the Holy Spirit, completed and accomplished by the blood of Jesus.
Amen and amen. Praise God, we've been given that power from the cross. And so many don't know it. I didn't know it until age 44, Ralph. And I just keep praising God that somebody shared it with me to focus in this area and to realize, start learning who we are in Jesus to combat the enemy and to see physical healings take place as we command it. It's still an amazing thing to me, as I've seen over these 39 years. Well, I've got a scripture I'd like to share.
Go right ahead.
A passage that, well, rings in my head, and I keep seeing the truth of it in our ministry constantly, and that's over in Proverbs 18:21 in the King James, where we read, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruits thereof." And Mark 11:23 and 24, says the same basic thing, that we get what we say. And, you know, it's hard to get, let that sink in, that the tongue can have so much to do with our lives, how we use it and what we say. I had to certainly make adjustments in my life as I started learning about these things, and we keep seeing it, and it's hard to get it across to people after ministry to be confessing that they are healed, to confess the positives and not the negatives. Or if they feel a pain, to say, well, I guess I've got such and such back, or whatever it is. And the enemy loves that. In fact, it's usually the enemy that's prodding the person to say that. I've actually had demons in manifestations say that was what their mission was to push the person to try to get them to confess that they had even the generational disease so they could put it on them. So the tongue is so major to us. And if we can just get that across to everybody and the people that have gone through ministry, you know, we've all grown up the other way. I was that way. And you kind of have to force yourself to start speaking along these lines. Have you had any experience with that, Ralph?
Well, you know, I have had a little trouble in my life from time to time bridling that tongue of fire, which is, of course, talked about in James 3. For we all stumble in many ways. If anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to bridle the whole body as well. And then it goes on from there talking about how the small little bit of the tongue can just make that body go this way or that way, just like a small rudder does on a ship. And it's not an easy thing to do, and it's something that since my early days of my Christian walk, I've really tried to work on. But I have to confess that from time to time, I will catch myself saying negatives. I will catch myself saying, I am, and then something that shouldn't come out of my mouth.
Well, certainly, that can even be like a curse where we're speaking negatives about someone or even ourselves to the enemy. It's like a curse where now they can put the spirits on. You know, demons come through these curses to torment. And this is particularly, it's so major important in a healing arena to be confessing those things that are not as though they are. I think that's in, Romans 4:17, if I remember right, to confess those things that are not as though they are. And even though you may have, you feel something going on, don't confess otherwise, but speak the positives about it, that you are healed, and keep saying it over and over. And then it seems to perform itself. Hallelujah! It's supernatural stuff, isn't it?
It is. And the word is truth. And it'll be a lie of the enemy. Let's say you have a back issue to say, "Boy, my back is just hurting today." It would just be easy to see. This is easy and more beneficial to say, "By His stripes, I am healed," and focus that healing upon the back, and that remember that the body was broken for our healing.
Yes, and just say, my back is healed. I'm fine. My back is fine.
or my this or my that's fine. But definitely don't ever say it. If you had cancer out there or, I don't know, any kind of disease. You do hear people say that a lot. That seems to be the one with the cancer. Let's say, well, my whatever it is. And
yes,
like,
it's not
like
there.
They're hanging on to it. It's like they're hanging on to it like a teddy bear.
Right.
And it's just unfortunate because it's not an easy thing to bridle. Of course, I started to read James there, but if you go on down to James 8, it said, "But no one can tame the tongue; it's a restless evil full of deadly poison. And with it, we bless our Father and Lord, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the likeness of God. From the same mouth come both blessings and curses. My brethren, these things not ought to be this way." And I think about how many times it says we curse man, that man being you.
Yeah, so true.
But but praise Jesus, we can apply the blood of Jesus, confess our sin, which is cursing ourselves, apply the blood of Jesus and the cross there, hang that curse right on the curse of the tree of Galatians 3:13, and break that curse even the minute you say it. And that's what's so great is Jesus gave us such power and such authority that we could take something, even like a careless word that we say right there, and say, no, that's a lie. I'm not going to believe that. I confess it as sin, and the opposite is true.
Amen. Amen. Well, we had 8 cases, Ralph, this last Monday at Deliverance Ministries in Oklahoma City, and the minister for each actually had extra ministers, and it went very well. And I had a good ministry case and was able to get the head demon up and went very well. So I'm still on a high from that. And then I had a ministry session on the phone today. And I got the head demon up on the phone with the lady and found out about a 4-generational curse coming down to the maternal side. And we, of course, broke that in Jesus' name and got everything cast out. And before it did, it gave the lies it was telling her in her head, but it also disclosed God's given gifts in that storehouse that's within each person. And so she was a pretty happy camper, and that's the fun of all this, is being in the middle of it to see God use us in His name to do His commands. And it's just certainly high adventure, isn't it?
It is. And praise the Lord that there is someone who is set free from something that held them in bondage. It's just a wonderful thing to witness. When you just see the transformation of the person, and sometimes it's just almost an instant transformation. It's like, you know, when you got to the biggest thing that was there bothering them, or hindering them, or tormenting them, whatever it is, you can see. Sometimes it's just like they straighten up, a smile comes on their face. They haven't had a smile all night, and it's like
and they feel lighter,
instant, and feel lighter, and it's like instantly, you know. So it's just awesome to hear the testimonies. And 8 seems like a little slow night for y'all there, but you know, that's eight people who came and got to be doing better after they left.
Yes. Well, let's see, we probably average about a dozen people as a rule, and have all these years, 34 years of doing the Monday night ministry, the deliverance service, and it's been around a dozen all these years. It's most amazing, and there are different people typically that are there. There'll be some that come back for a second round or so, but the bulk of them are new people each Monday night, and it's been that way for 34 years, and it just amazes me where they come from. Before the internet days, you know, people, it was just word of mouth, and I did have a local radio show here and interviewed people that had deliverance, but with the internet coming in and these websites, people, you know, it's worldwide net, so sure enough, people are contacting us from all over the world.
Yes, they are, and praise the Lord that we have the ability to reach out to not just those within your local town there of Oklahoma City, but across this nation and via satellite, via shortwave, and via the internet, we were able to reach to the uttermost parts of the world. And that's part of the command of the Great Commission, to go out and preach the gospel. And this is part of the gospel. This is a part of the gospel that's unfortunately is not known and not understood and not practiced by most of Christianity today. And the need is there. The need is there. You see it in the headlines. You see it walking down the street. You see it everywhere. And praise God that we are working towards getting people trained, getting people equipped to do this. And you can do this too, folks out there. You do not have to travel to Oklahoma City. You could go to deliveranceusa.com. And on that website is everything at your disposal. You can get a hold of the book that Pastor wrote, Do the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be obtained at Scriptures for America. I believe we ask a $20 offering on that. And that's a manual right there. It's a breakdown. And it's good to be able to use the manual and use the internet tool, because the videos there, is there's teaching and explain how to put it in practical application. And it's just laid out there in simple steps, and it's just a fantastic thing. And Pastor, we have Chris with us. Thank you for joining us tonight, Chris.
Well, thank you, Mr. Cox. I appreciate you asking me to be on your radio program and giving me a little, allowing me a little opportunity to tell your listening audience a little bit about my life and story.
Yes, yes, Chris. Thanks so much for calling in. And yeah, if you could go ahead and give some history on yourself and when you were born again, and then how you learned about deliverance, and then what you've experienced thus far.
Okay. I guess my story pretty well starts about the age of 10 years old, where I was involved in a very bad accident, and my spine was pulled apart, and I had an instant breathing problem. And up until this point, I never had any health problems at all, but, I mean, after this happened, everything just started accelerating towards the worst. And then I only found out in 2015 that I had stopped breathing episodes for like 50 years, that I struggled with that and all the pain associated with that. And so then I had a real bad neck injury that really threw a monkey wrench into everything, because it affected my blood pressure and my blood sugar, and I had all this stuff going on. And then I was baptized into Christ around about the age of 12 or 14. And at that point, I thought that I had committed my life wholly to God. But things started occurring, and things were progressively getting worse for me. And I felt like my life wasn't totally committed to Him, because I felt like I was the one that needed to be in control of my life instead of God. So anyway, that being said, I know that God was sustaining me through all those years, and I really didn't understand what was happening to me, because I was in so much pain. And so therefore I didn't really acknowledge Him like I should have. And things really started progressing for the worse, and I had some my in-laws came down to get my wife and kids for like 6 months, and I never understood that, and it kind of like ripped my heart and soul out. And so from that point on, our marriage was in trouble, and I just didn't realize it. But anyway, God sustained me through all that, and I used the inspiration short story about footprints in the sand, and I have a little bit different twist to that. And it kind of goes like this. You know, the original one said that this man and God were walking along the beach, and when things were going well for him, you know, he said that, you know, there was two footprints in the sand. And when things were going bad, he noticed that there was one set of footprints in the sand. And so he was ranting to God about that, you know, why did you leave me? Why did you forsake me? And I kind of felt that way myself, because I didn't feel like I was getting any healing. And then God tells him, well, when you were having things go bad for you, that's when I was carrying you, and that's the reason for the one set of footprints in the sand. And so my twist to that story is, since my injury happened at 10 years old and I hadn't accepted Christ at that point, I know that God was carrying me the whole time. So in my case, there was never really two sets of footprints, that there was always one set of footprints, because God was carrying me the whole time, and God continued to carry me up until this point, and to say that he is still carrying me after this point, I had some friends who had heard my testimony, and they suggested that I go to the Deliverance Ministries over at your place over on North Main. And you know, I decided I don't have anything to lose, and you know, I need all the healing I can get. And so I went over there, and I had a, you know, we went through the whole class, and y'all was still talking to us for like an hour or so there, and then y'all assigned us a preacher with the sheet that we filled out, and they started the whole deliverance ministry process on me. And it was so amazing. I know that God has been healing me a little bit along the, not all at once, but in stages. And I had a good friend of mine that says that God, it would be hard for God to heal you all at once because the human body wouldn't take that, because I had a lot of things wrong with me. And, you know, not only physically, but emotionally, with all the pain and trauma associated with all that, that it would be hard for the human body to stand up if God healed you immediately. And that didn't go to say that he can't do that, because he can. But I think in my instance, God was healing me in stages. I know that night I got delivered from all my pain and emotional pain and trauma. I immediately started feeling something lifting off of me. All the pain and a lot of that started going away. And that was pretty significant in my life. And another thing that happened just a week after that, in fact, this past Sunday night, I went to Glory Rivers. I had a couple of friends to invite me to that. And, you know, my intention was not to go there to get or seek healing, because I was feeling pretty good from being delivered at your place. And so a friend of mine come up to me and said, we're going to pray over you. And said, well, I just got deliverance at Everett Cox's. And he said, well, we're going to pray over you anyway. So they did. And the guy asked me what I had wrong with me. I said, well, I've got some two bad childhood injuries that doctors weren't addressing. And they progressively got worse. And he asked me what their injuries were, and I said lung, neck, and back. And he said, we're going to pray over that. And they were laying on hands on me, and like y'all did over at your place. And it felt like some more healing went on there. So I feel like God is healing me a little bit at a time, maybe to increase my faith or whatever. Let's see,
Chris,
have I left anything out?
In your ministry yourself, Chris, did you have some things disappear, like fear or anger or any problem areas that you noticed are not bothering you now?
Yes, I've had a lot of, throughout all those 50 years, you know, I was dealing with a lot of anger and bitterness and unforgiveness. And I know that y'all told me that unforgiveness was a huge open door for evil spirits to come in. And that was certainly a huge problem area with me. And since y'all delivered me, I've noticed that a lot of my anger has left. And my bitterness, I am am a much happier person now and a joyful person. I would like to say this also. I saw a post on Facebook 3 days ago on Monday from a friend, and it said this: your affliction is actually your empowerment for the kingdom. It's the mantle you are meant to carry. And I wanted to say I carried my affliction, my physical pain and emotional pain and trauma for 50 years without healing, and God sustaining me all that time. And I am reminded of Paul, the apostle, who had a thorn in his side, and God would not remove it from him, saying, my grace is sufficient for you. And obviously God's grace is sufficient for me also. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And 2 Corinthians 12:8-10 says, concerning this thing, I, talking about Paul, pleaded with the Lord 3 times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly I will rather boast in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. God has been answering my prayers on my behalf and blessing me since my deliverance on a couple of weeks ago. In Proverbs 3:5-6, it says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You know, since I was been delivered, I've been trusting God with all my heart, and I'm trying not to lean on my own understanding, and I've been trying to acknowledge him in all my ways, and he has carefully been directing my paths. I am learning to live and be still in his holy presence and embracing the peace that is stilled only by him. Peace, peace, be still. In Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I am God. In Philippians 4:7 says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Jesus has been my refuge and my strength and my comfort. He has been my solid rock I stand on. He has been my helper and my guiding light ever since I've been delivered.
Praise God. And where's your pain level now?
He has been showing me how how to love and trust again. I have joy and positive things coming into my life now. Psalms 37:4 says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Ever since I've been delivered, I am seeking more of him and finding more joy and delight in him, because my heart's desire is to reconcile with my 2 kids I haven't heard from or seen in about 5 or 6 years. And it has been really tough and hurtful and disappointing to me to see that I haven't been able to see them in about 5 or 6 years and not even talk to them. He has been showing me what is good and what is required of me to act justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with my God in Micah 6 and 8. Also, God is constantly putting people in my life to help and support me, to heal and to help me grow spiritually and to mature in Christ. And it is very important for us as Christians to be in a community with one another, because God did not make us to do life alone by ourselves. He made us for relationships, first and foremost, to be in a relationship with Him, and secondly, to be in a relationship with others. I also love John 7 and 38 that says, "Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And I think that is so beautiful, that all we have to do is believe in Him, and rivers of living water will flow from within us.
Amen. Chris, how's your pain level now?
Well, through both of the deliverances I've had, yours and over Glory River's, I don't hardly have any pain left. I might have a little bit, but I'm just doing really great.
That's been, you had that all those since age 10, was it?
I'm sorry?
You had that since age 10, the pain?
I'm having a little bit, I've got a little bit of hearing loss, so I'm having a little bit of problems understanding you a little bit there.
Richard, could you turn the gain up a little bit?
Sure.
So, Chris, you had that pain since a young kid.
Right.
So, praise God, that's awesome.
Yeah, you know, 50 years of pain, and maybe that's why God has been healing me at stages, because, you know, all my pain level was for 50 years, and for that to immediately go away might have been too much trauma on my body. I don't know, but maybe that's why He's healing me in stages. But most of that, I think, is gone, and I'm just doing super fantastic right now, and thank and praise God that some people had the foresight to suggest to me to go to Deliverance Ministries and get delivered from all that.
Amen.
And I would recommend Deliverance Ministries to anybody that is struggling with anything in their life that they can't shake or get rid of. I just wish I'd have known about this, you know, 40 years sooner, at least.
We're all that way, Chris. You know, I was age 44 before I got introduced to this works of Jesus, and then I could have missed it very easily, just as you could have. What if your friend had never said anything about it?
Yeah, right. And you know, that's probably a God thing, that maybe God was, like I said, he was constantly putting people in my life to get me help and healing, and I'm sure that was a God thing that people suggested that to me, because they knew I had a life of pain and suffering, and I want to be able to maybe someday get into some kind of ministry where I can help others with their pain. Because I know what pain is all about, and
maybe the Lord will lead you to go through the training at Deliverance Ministries, Chris.
Well, that's a very good possibility. I'm going to be in prayer about it, and let him lead me to where he wants me to be, whether that be deliverance ministry or a ministry to help others with pain and kind of get a grip on their life and try to understand why they've got their pain, just kind of like, you know, Paul the Apostle and what he had to deal with, the thorn in his side.
Well, praise the Lord that your pain is gone now. Chris, we do appreciate you coming on this evening, but we're going to have to let you go because we have our next guest on the line.
Okay.
Thanks, Chris.
Well, I appreciate you having me on your radio program.
You bet. Blessings to you.
Appreciate you coming on.
I'm sorry?
Thanks for coming on. God bless you.
Okay, God bless you, and thank you for all you've done.
Bye-bye.
Fantastic testimony. Fantastic testimony.
Hallelujah.
Yes, that means all those years of pain, pain now gone. And we have our next guest in line. Are you there?
We're here.
All right. Is that you, Anthony and Heather?
Yes, we're both here.
We're here. Good evening.
All right. Hey, you guys, thanks for calling in. Were you able to hear any of Chris's testimony?
Yes, we were both listening to it.
Yeah. Well, here's the interesting thing, Anthony, that and Heather, man and wife there that are on, they are team leaders at Deliverance Ministries, and fairly new ones. They've been at it, what, like 6 months now or so?
Yes.
And so you were the team leader that worked with Chris. I thought it'd be kind of neat to have you on as well. And maybe you can explain, what went on what from your viewpoint as the ministers and ministering to him. So why don't either of you go ahead and kind of share that?
Yeah, it was really great. When I first started going into it, we started talking with him about, you know, he started telling us about when he was injured as a child, and he started telling his story, and as we went through there, his story went along, and I asked him, I said, well, he was telling about other people were hurting him. I said, well, who were the other people as his story went along, and come to find out, the people that were hurting him was also his brothers. So I asked him, I said, well, Chris, I said, have you ever thought to forgive your brothers? And he kind of sat there for a minute, and then he just started weeping, and he said, well, I'd never thought about it. He said, you know, I have held them accountable all these years for not helping me when he could have helped me. They were my protectors. And it seemed like when he said, yes, I forgive them, and I let them go, I turned them over to Jesus. As we put, you know, we had him put the two in his hand, and we even broke ungodly soul ties with the brothers that were associated with the injured him as a child, and even his cousin, that you could just see an enormous amount of pain just kind of leave as he break the ungodly soul ties and was able to forgive him. And the emotional pain that went along with
it. Praise God. That's awesome.
Yes.
So what else went on?
Well, as we went on down through that, had talked about he had gotten injured. I mean, you know, he said there in his testimony where he'd been injured with some neck pain, and a kid had hurt him, had hit him in the back of the neck, and had really caused him a lot of breathing problems and stuff throughout his life. So we kind of went back to the inner healing, and we went in and we asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, can you show Chris who he needs to forgive? You know, like you always talk about doing the inner healing with everyone, and extremely important, we found out. And we flew in through there, and he starts saying, well, there's this kid in the hall that picked a fight with me, and he come up behind me and blindsided me and hit me in the back of the neck. And I said, well, have you forgiven that person? He said, well, I think so. And I said, well, we got to know better than think so. I said, have you or have you not forgiven him? And he said, well, you know, I guess I hadn't thought about it. And I said, well, you know, forgiveness is not earned, it's given. And he kind of brightened up when I said that. And he said, well, you know, really, I never thought about it like that. And I said, well, I said, if you want to forgive and you want to be set free, that's on you. You've got to do it. And he said, I forgive that person, and I even bless them. And you could just see the emotional pain associated with that go. And we were seeing some physical healing even before we done the limb check. So.
Awesome. So, you've moved into the limb check ultimately after the deliverance part that probably took a couple of hours or so, And when you, did he feel any of the spirits coming out? Do you remember?
Yeah, he absolutely did. He would kind of, he'd kind of twitch a little bit, maybe kind of hold his neck or you know, you could tell kind of in his stomach, he had some stuff balling up. So I would take the Bible and I would touch it against him. I'd tell him, I said, Chris, I'm going to hold this against your stomach. And as we did, you could actually see they kind of come up, and sometimes he would burp, and then, you know, you could tell he'd kind of hiccup a little bit. And then, so you could definitely tell he even knew they were living. And then you could even see it in his face. He physically, his facial expressions and even his skin tone color was changing as the night went on. And you could just see that he just looked like kind of like a twin brother that walked in there by the time the night was over. He just looked so much better.
Praise God. Thank you, Lord.
So when you
did the limb check, Anthony, did he have a short leg or a short arm
he had a short leg, actually. It was a quarter to half an inch. And he was sitting back there. I said, well, you need to sit back in your chair. We're going to do what we call a limb check. And I held his feet out, and I said, well, let me check your feet. And one was about a quarter to half an inch. And I said, in Jesus' name, bones adjust, pain go. Boom, it popped right out, and he felt it, and he actually physically saw it move. And I was like, you know, it never gets old. Even, you know, we've been in it for 6 months, and every time it happens, I feel just amazed by it. It's just literally the supernatural works of Jesus right there in front of your face. And it's absolutely amazing.
I've been doing the limb check 39 years, and it still amazes me every time that you can physically see something adjust, you know. What about his arms, Anthony, when he stood up? Did he have a upper part of his body out of adjustment?
His arms weren't all that out of adjustment. We went ahead and commanded it to adjust anyway, and he said his neck was feeling better. So I put my hand, you know, over his neck, and I commanded, you know, the back to adjust, the cranium plates to float, and basically like we've been taught, you know, everything come into a godly order, new parts is needed in Jesus' name. And you could just literally see him kind of sway as we were going down through there, like literally he was getting a Jesus overhaul. I mean, you physically could see him moving. So,
and as Jesus said, that we're to lay hands on the sick and they shall recover, and we've certainly seen our share of that. Well, you guys, you and your wife have been doing it. Sometimes you minister together and sometimes each individual. How about some of the other cases you've seen that are exciting as you're doing all this?
What I've learned mostly is that I know you say it a lot, and for all the listeners out there, the inner healing I have found out is extremely, extremely important.
Yeah.
I was working with a lady the other day, and we were doing the Charles Pratt birth up. And as we were going down through, I was bringing her up through preschool, you know, early years and all that. And we have even got up, even up into high school. And then all of a sudden she says, well, I'm not getting anything except these little minor things that happened in the fourth grade. And I said, wait a minute, let's go back. That's kind of what we're talking about. We're trying to see what the Holy Spirit will reveal to you, any kind of trauma of any kind. And she said, well, it's not any big deal. It was this, on the fourth grade, I was being picked on and all this. And I said, well, let's stay on that. Let's keep working with it. So she starts naming all these names off. And as she's going through this, it wasn't a big deal. She starts bawling and weeping and, I mean, really, really crying out loud, just almost into a kind of a wailing cry. And she just starts, I said, you know, Holy Spirit, help her speak who she needs to forgive. Let her know what she needs to know. And I said, just make a cup your hands, and let's give all these feelings to Jesus. And she starts putting it in there. And I said, are they all in there? Do you think they're all in there? And she said, yes. I said, let's hand them up to Jesus and let them go. And she hands them up, and just, you could just see her whole body just change, you know, just so much lighter. So my takeaway from that is, and even hers too, she said, you know, I had no idea this even bothered me at all. And my takeaway from that was, no matter how minor it is, it needs to be dealt with, because it was really weighing heavily on her. And she said, I can't believe as a 58-year-old lady, something that happened to me in the fourth grade could bother me to this extent. And that was always down to the inner healing step.
Sometimes there are major situations with a child, and even though adults wouldn't think much about it, to the child it's major. And it's a door that spirits with that was associated feelings. They came in with those are the names of the spirits. You know, it's, we keep running into that over and over. Well, that's awesome. Yeah, the inner healing is one of the major areas. I had a case recently where, by the time we did the soul ties and the inner healing, and I found out that I was able to get the head demon up, and he was the only one that was still there.
Oh,
the
wow.
Spirits had already gone. The first time I run into that, I think. And so it was pretty easy for there to just deal with him. Well, you might give some backgrounds on you and Heather, and so the people might not have heard the other show the time you were on, and let them know how you've gotten into this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we found out about Deliverance Ministry through one of Anthony's family friends. He had been trained with you there at Deliverance Ministries, and so Anthony had gone to see him a few times, and then once I met Anthony, he introduced me to him, and I went for Deliverance as well. And then a few years after we were married, we decided we could use some more help, and we got in touch with his daughter, and she put us in contact with you in Oklahoma City. And so we came up there and each got our own deliverance there, and then we decided that it was something we wanted to learn to do and started coming to the training session, and we've been coming pretty much every Monday night since then. So
praise God. And you know, Chris, it wouldn't surprise me. It sounds like Chris may want to go through the training as well, from what he has commented, and he'd probably make a good minister, don't you think?
Yes, absolutely.
I think so too. I think he would be great.
Mm-hmm. Yes, he got a good grasp of the word.
Yeah,
it was obvious in his testimony. Well, anything else you'd like to share in some of your cases, Heather or Anthony?
I just want to reiterate that it seems like in most every case that we deal with, either individually or, you know, when we work as a team, that breaking soul ties and doing the inner healing step are really crucial. That once you get through those parts, you know, and the Holy Spirit is revealed to people that need to be forgiven, and, you know, those the roots, I guess, of the trauma and the unforgiveness and or whatever, the anger, you know, whatever those issues are, that's a really powerful thing. And so that, like you mentioned as well, once those things are taken care of, you know, the problem list really isn't much of a problem anymore. It's really easy to get through. But I think that's really, it's really important about the inner healing step.
Definitely. It seems like if you can break the ungodly soul ties, and go to the, you know, doing the birth up and making sure you deal with their top three. We usually always take their top three major things and ask the Holy Spirit, you know, show them the earliest root, the earliest memory when this came through. And it's really amazing how many of the things they circled, even though it was anger, how many other things come out in that same event. It comes out as fear. It comes out as anxiety. It comes out as so many things were tied to the same event that brought out, like, the like our top three things. The number one thing will be several other things that were tied to it. When you have the Holy Spirit revealed to them the earliest roots, you can, you know, basically jerk the rug out from under it. And so many of, you know, like I say, so many of the things they had circled will leave as that's cast out right there.
Absolutely.
So
Absolutely. And, you know, in the beginning in a deliverance ministry, and in my experience before I formed Deliverance Ministries Incorporated, all we knew to do was attack the demons in Jesus' name. And it was hard ministry. And as I've often shared, we'd go into the wee hours, you know, and people would thrash out of the chairs a lot, heavy manifestations, which we seldom have these days. And they'd be on the floor kicking, and we'd be down there and yelling at these things. We thought louder was better then. It was hard. Hard on the minister and hard on the person ministering to. But even then, we helped them, and we ultimately drive out a certain number of demons. And, of course, you get one demon out, and they're better. Well, you get three dozen or more like we typically do these days. My gosh, it's wonderful. And though it's easy because of these two steps, the inner healing and the ungodly soul tie areas, once we do that, it's jerked the rug out from under the demon so sufficiently that the demons often will leave just as you do that. But if they haven't left, they don't have any reason, any legal right to be there, and they're easy to cast on out. So that's what we ultimately learned, and those are the steps that are in my book, Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, so people can learn to do this. These are time-tested, and it didn't come overnight. But we just keep doing this same pattern and steps, and just keeps working. So, you know, we have no reason to fix it. Amen.
That's right. And I notice a lot of times what Heather and I do, you know, people we command, you know, we ask them to tell them to go, and then we'll actually... So they'll engage themselves. Some people, you know, don't want to get loud or don't want to draw attention. We'll just say, well, take some deep breaths and blow the demons out, because demons are like, or spirits are like air. You can blow them out. And people seem to really engage more so in you know, making the motion of blowing things out, so they don't feel like they're drawing attention. So it seems to really get them to engage in the process more. So
yes, yeah, so you don't want to be passive in this, and it really helps for the person themselves to tell the spirit to go, we've noticed. And when they engage, then that makes the job easier for the minister. And I usually say take some deep breaths, expel anything out that's in there. And as they do that, then the spirits will move on. So I like it quick and easy. Amen.
Amen to that. Yes. Yeah, I use the saying you say a lot. They're the captain of their ship, and I just say we're just the radio. We're just the radio man. But you're the captain. You've got to tell them when to get off.
Right.
So
they have to use their authority.
Their authority. Right.
That's good. Well, in the minute or so remaining, do you or Heather have any remaining comments to make before we sign off with you?
I would just say that we feel really lucky to be part of Deliverance Ministry, but that there's really nothing special about either one of us. We're just normal people doing, you know, the work that Jesus commanded us to do. And so we would just want to encourage that if anybody has the interest or would want to learn more about it, that everybody has that authority and that everybody can learn these steps, and that it's a blessing. It's awesome. And I love to hear testimonies like Chris, and
it just really makes you feel really good that I heard you say several times that God would just use little of us, you know, to do such supernatural things in His name. And it's just, and like you say earlier, you know, you were on a high. You literally on a Monday night, it carries you all the way till next Monday. You just feel so awesome about how you know, through Jesus' name, you were able to feel like you was able to help somebody. It's just a small piece, you know, to help change someone's life for the better. It's just amazing feeling.
And I can tell, Anthony, you and Heather are still on the high from Monday night.
Oh, definitely. Most definitely.
Well, God bless you guys. We'll talk to you later.
All right.
Hey, God bless you.
Thank
we'll
you
see
for
you
coming
Monday.
On.
Yes, yes, thank you for having us. God bless.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, they laid it out and told how it was, huh?
Well, they did, didn't they? And you know, yeah, they've only been doing this about 6 months. So that just goes to show how people don't, you know, they can learn to do this quickly. They were good students, each of them, and they followed the steps that we taught them. You know how it is, some people learn easier than others.
Yep.
But they were excellent students, and they grasped it, and they were ministering using the steps very quickly.
Yes, and the steps are, it's a simplicity. It's a system will beat out a non-system every time. Just following the steps that are laid out. But I really liked hearing their testimony about the importance of the breaking of ungodly soul ties and inner healing, because trauma comes in so easy and times our lives. And that's just the great thing about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has such a role that just cannot be contained. And if you ask the Holy Spirit to reveal something to you, he does it.
Amen.
It's just the great thing about the Holy Spirit is the promised helper. And you can ask the Holy Spirit to reveal if there's sin in your life you don't know about, if there's trauma in your life, if there's someone you haven't been able to forgive. It's just a fantastic thing to do. And I personally haven't heard a testimony of anyone who's asked the Holy Spirit in Jesus' name to reveal something that it hasn't been. And it's just a fantastic testimony.
Amen. Well, thanks, brother. Here we go again. Yep.
Another hour just went by quickly. So
another,
we thank everybody for joining us.
Good. Yes, those great testimonies. God bless you.
All right. God bless you. Again, that's Doing the Supernatural Works of Jesus, which can be obtained at Scriptures for America, or go to the website deliveranceusa.com. And we do thank everybody for joining us this evening, and we will see you next week. Have a good evening.
Luke chapter 10, verse 19.
I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. I have given you authority to trample on snakes and scorpions,
and to overcome all the power of the enemy,
to overcome. Nothing
will harm you.
Nothing
will harm you.